Thanks for listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network. I'm Kane Hodder, and before we get into the episode, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine was huge for my success in my career. No one knew my name from anyone until I was in Fangoria Magazine. Completely changed my career, and I'll be forever grateful. Fangoria Magazine is now a deluxe 100-page quarterly edition. Each issue includes set visits, deep dives, new discoveries, and minimal ads, all printed on collectible-grade paper stock that reimagines the classic magazine for a 2019 audience. You'll see familiar names like Michael Gingold and Tony Timpone, and you'll see bylines that will freeze your face off, like Barbara Crampton and S. Craig Zahler. And the best part? It's print only, just like the good old days. Go to Fangoria.com to subscribe today. Do it. And I want to tell you about Diabolik DVD. For over 15 years, Diabolik DVD has been the source for horror, cult, and weird cinema to customers around the world. Diabolik offers a one-stop shopping experience for all of your favorite labels, including Arrow, Synapse, Vinegar Syndrome, Severin, Mondo Macabro, Blue Underground 88, and many more from all corners of the globe. Whether you are looking for the definitive version of Suspiria or trying to upgrade your crusty old DVD of Cannibal Holocaust, Diabolik is the owner-operated, small business choice for all of the demented discs you have been craving. Visit their selection at DiabolikDVD.com.
Fangoria presents Casualty Friday.
What's up in TGICF? You're listening to Casualty Friday on the Fangoria Podcast Network, your home for crazy conversations about all things horror. We're your hosts. I'm Tiffany Shepis.
I'm Felissa Rose.
And I am Kane Hodder.
And today we have the craziest episode. We're going to talk to you about stunts and special effects. Oh my God. We have some, like, literally one of the masters of this conversation here.
Woo!
Felissa, yeah.
We're talking about Kane Hodder himself. I mean, this topic is meant for you.
This is you, baby.
This
you,
is
baby.
You. This is your time to shine.
Wow, okay. It's so, a lot of pressure.
So I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Again?
I can't wait to hear what
she has a real urinary problem.
Then one person shit.
So
I mean, it's amazing.
It really
six
is
times.
A stunt that it's she's doing.
It's my stunt.
PM and six times.
Felissa's got a problem with this.
You need more roughage.
Clearly, this is a very important topic that you guys have all completely strayed from. We want to talk about the personal experiences with special effects or stunts. How has this, I mean, we know how it's changed your career, Kane. How has special effects or stunts changed yours?
I have actually done everything on my own because I, you know, when I play the killer, I have to, they teach you how to use the weapons and whatnot. But special effects has always been incredibly difficult in terms of getting under the prosthetics and whatnot. I mean, I played a fucking man in Return to Sleepaway Camp 6.5 hours every day in makeup. Return to Sleepaway Camp. Yes. I played Sheriff Jerry. And it
really?
Kane hasn't seen it. What? Have you seen anything? Oh, Victor Crowley.
Yes.
Have you seen Victor Crowley?
Yes.
Were you there? Because I actually never saw you get in makeup. Maybe that is somebody else.
Could have been.
But the truth is, it's hard to go under the latex and whatnot and have all of that created so that, you know, you can get killed or play a character. I usually have to take a massive amount of medication to do it because it's very claustrophobic.
Very claustrophobic.
It's scary to be under all that thick layering of, you know, whatever the special effects.
It always seems that, at least in my experiences, like they're like, oh, it's not enough that your face is going to be covered with all this latex, but now let's put in some contacts that make you not able to see.
Contacts.
Like that you only have peripheral vision or nothing at all.
No, I was blind. I just did a movie called A Nun's Curse and they had me wear contacts and I was blind.
See, what's with those nun movies? I did a nun movie where they took my eyes out too. These nun exploitation.
Have you played a nun? I've never done a nun movie.
We need to get you a nun film. That is nonsense. No. Ah, yes. Nun joke but in for the win.
But then you can put dentures in too, which restricts your breathing.
So we're very pretty.
Not
very
able to speak.
Eyesight. You can't breathe for shit. You got everything glued on you.
Yep. The fumes will make you high as fuck.
you can't walk. You can't talk. Maybe they're telling us something.
Can't walk. You can't talk. You're on drugs. The whole thing's a mess. Yeah, it's tough.
Your definition of special effects is also a little different than mine. Because when you say special effects, you're talking about makeup. But when you're a stunt person, special effects is more often explosions and other things happening to you while doing stunts, which so there's two sides to special effects. That's why I call it special effects is bombs, makeup effects is what
No, I'm glad we can clarify
and
that.
Then
I think that's important.
Visual effects, which throws a whole nother monkey in.
As a stunt person, you do never get through your career without being in close proximity to explosions, whatever the movie is. And that's always tough because you can know the special effects people and they can tell you what to expect, but they don't know exactly what's going to happen. That's true. Sometimes things are way bigger than you expect. An explosion, it may be just, you know, a what they call a bomb. So it's a big fireball with no debris. But still, if that's bigger than you expect as you're doing a stunt, that can alter what you do. So,
absolutely.
Like being in American Ninja 2, in South Africa, I had to flip a pickup truck, which is a pipe ramp. You guys probably know what that is, where the vehicle hits an I-beam type thing, makes it go like this. And whenever you see a vehicle spinning in the air as a result of something, it's hit a pipe ramp. So I had to spin in the air and then ideally land in a circle of mortars, which were all gas bombs. And it was around a gas station. So I had to flip the truck. As I landed in the gas station, the entire gas station blows up around me. And it worked out perfectly. And I didn't even really feel anything that I didn't expect. But that was a little nerve-wracking. I'm like, what if I'm a little short and I'm on one of the mortars?
Yeah.
I mean, what goes through your mind right before it? Are you terrified or excited? No. The adrenaline's going?
I think more of that. Okay. Really, you're just very focused and adrenaline for sure. And, you know, the fact that I have been burned is something I don't want to go through again. So
more accurate. And
So, you know, you have to trust your effects people.
And that's like an interesting thing is the trust that you as an actor on our side, like has to put into your stunt team or the people that are handling effects any way, even the smallest one can have everything go completely wrong. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've dealt with fire on sets where I'm like, oh my God, like these people know what they're doing. Like, right. I don't know. Yeah. Like, you know, car stuff where like cars coming in within an inch of hitting me and I'm not a stunt person, but I'm an actor and they want the shot. And so you're like geared up because you don't want to mess it up for everybody else by like chickening out. But at the same time, like, what if that guy screws up and actually hits me? Like, do I want to die for this movie? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of your own stunts, right?
I mean,
like, have you ever had that close call or, God forbid, gotten hurt?
Well, I'm always hurt. And I always say, ooh, I'm hurt. That means I did my job.
Ooh.
I'm always battered and bruised. And like, because I also want to make it look so real. Like in Killer Rose, I'm fighting everyone. I have to throw myself into a car. And it's like, I'm not going to gently like go into the car. I'm going to bang myself into the car. And then I have to fight this chick. And then I'm, you know, shooting. And it's so fun. So I like it.
And as a stunt coordinator, you like to have actors like you that are game for, you know, taking some hits because it'll make everything look better.
Sure.
But then the reverse of that is that often you do a fight scene with an actor that gets what we refer to as overamped. That's if you ever get punched for real during a fight, it's going to be from an actor. and because they always think they can do and stay in control more than they can.
Sure.
And so you'll never get hurt doing a fight scene with a stunt person. So you're always happy, but you're like doing a fight scene with an actor. Oh boy, be careful, especially if he's getting fired up. And it's usually a guy that does it. Well, and you know,
it's tough because, I mean, that's why it's such a specialty and why, you know, there's so few of you stunt people that are great at what you do, because it's a hard gig, right? Oh, I mean, and then like, it's even harder for somebody to be an actor and a stunt person. Like I did an episode of 12 Monkeys and there's a fight scene between what's supposed to be me and like the lead girl, but I practiced the whole time with the stunt team. And that's who I was going to do the fight with. And at the very last second, and she thought she was doing me a favor, was like, no, I'll step in and do the scene with her. And I was so terrified. I'm like, because if I hit the stunt guy, he doesn't care. But I can't accidentally punch the leading lady of this TV show.
And we know Tiffany wanted to.
So no, you never want to like hurt any. Like, that's my biggest fear in the world is to actually hurt somebody. But I was like, oh my God. Like, so then I ended up overcompensating the other way and pulled every punch. And I think the stunt team was like, what is she doing? Oh, she's making this shit suck. Because I was so terrified.
You didn't want to hurt her.
Because there's that other end of it too, right? Like, you don't want to have your whole day thrown to shit because somebody broke a nose.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know?
And I've done lots of martial arts films where I've had to fight with the lead actor who's known for those types of films. And there's one actor in particular that I did three movies with him, and every movie he hurt a stunt person.
Oh,
no. And sent him to the hospital.
Oh, enough. Jesus.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and it's because he thought it would look better if he was more.
If he actually did something, that's not cool.
And it
either.
Really, yeah. When you go in knowing that when you do a fight with him, you're going to take some abuse. And most of us don't mind that because it does make it look better.
Of course.
But when it's so over the top that you have to really watch yourself, then the fight looks shitty.
Well, and yeah, you're on the defense. Like, there's no reason to do
for
that.
The unexpected years punch and years to the ago, face that, you know.
I was a wrestler for WOW. Not a lot of people know this. It was
amazing?
It was basically the revamped version of GLOW. And I was Madison, the New York rich bitch. And like, I loved wrestling and I loved fighting. So it was like the perfect gig for me. And I love talking on a microphone. So I was like, this is the best. But what had happened, they trained us for about 8 weeks, like in a ring with real professionals. But there were often a few girls that would come in and it's the same thing, like overzealous, want to make it look better. We're going to be tougher and meaner and like actually hit me. And I'm like, I'm going to get really hurt here. Like someone's going to snap my neck to try to make something look cool. Oof. And I ended up quitting the day before the first match, which is my most prideful and my most regretful moment, as I got all the girls together. I was like, you know, we need insurance. This is ridiculous. Like, we're all going to get effed up here. And it was the night before our pay-per-view match. They kept promising it. It never came. I was like, we all band together. Nobody's there to fight. They can't have a show.
And you were on your own.
Yeah. Basically, everyone sat down the minute like the head guy walked in the room. And I was like, well, thanks for the free haircut, bitches. I'm out. And that was it. And then I walked out. I was like, what did I do? But that is that kind of same thing. You know, people that are somewhat trained as stunt people, but in a very brief kind of crash course way, and then get overzealous and like, you know, trying to make things look cooler and in turn are hurting people. And that sucks. And that's scary. Because that's what I was afraid of, was like, I'm going to go out there and get... like,
it is scary. And I feel like on our sets, like sometimes they're so low budget, they don't really have the proper team, you know, and they're just like, yeah, it's okay. Just a couple of times we'll do this. I mean, I've been dragged down steps and thrown into walls and, you know,
on a Friday night.
Yeah. On a Friday night.
And then you go to the set.
That's just Friday night. And then, Saturday morning for my call time, you know.
I used to.
Bitches.
I used to be the stunt coordinator on Who's the Boss. Remember that show?
Yeah. What? Tony and, Dance. And
like, what stunt happened on that?
One episode that we did, I had to come in and coordinate a fight scene between Tommy Hearns and Tony Danza. Tommy Hearns is an ex-professional boxer, so was Tony. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to coordinate a fight between two professional boxers in the ring, too. It was a boxing match. So, I mean, it was nothing but fun just suggesting what looked better on camera, what kind of moves and stuff. But you know, it was just an odd thing to coordinate a fight with them.
But yeah, but they probably felt the same way. Like, we're not used to making this look fake. You know, yeah. They're used to just trying to win.
I love when the shit looks real and people are using like the guns with the squibs and all that. Oh my God, it gets me so crazy.
And squibs can be
super dangerous.
Freaking hurt like shit.
There was a...
But they look badass.
But that's always a scary part too, which a lot of like... people listening might not know is that it's such a timing thing with squibs. They're do you want to explain what a squib is?
It's just a small explosive charge that put on a person's body.
Just a little charge.
To simulate getting hit by a bullet.
And sometimes there's a blood pack in there too, right, that'll explode at the same time. So it looks like somebody really got hit. Shot. But the timing has to be so right. Because if you take the fall the wrong way, if you don't react, then you have a whole new reset and the stunt team gets really mad at you and the effects team gets really mad at you.
Effects mainly, because they have to
re-rig it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of pressure.
There was a movie called, or it was a what was it called? Forget what the term is, just it was called Dream West. It was like a mini series, I guess, where it was a Western type setting. Richard Chamberlain was in it. Oh, okay. And I was there doing stunts. And at one point, one of the stunt guys had his rifle resting against the ground, which is inexcusable because you have blanks in the rifle and then you have a squib on somebody to simulate them getting shot. So you could see the rifle fire. You see the explosion on the person. Ooh, that guy just got shot. And at one point, the stunt coordinator, a guy named Dave Cass, was standing behind camera showing where all these people were supposed to aim their blanks, just so it looked like they were firing at camera. So Dave's standing there like this, and all of a sudden, during the firing, he goes down.
Oh,
and
geez.
We were all like, what is he screwing around? And he gets up and he's got a big fucking blood mark on his forehead where somebody had, you know, rested their gun on the ground, got a little pebble in there. And the blank, I don't know if you've ever fired a blank, it's very powerful.
It is, yeah. I have.
And it shot the rock
scares
out.
Scares the shit out of me.
And hit Dave right in the forehead.
Oh my God. Imagine if that
like
was
6'4".
In his eye.
I know.
Like, that's why you need professionals for this stuff. It's really true.
Like, they try and cut corners by not having a stunt person or effects person, and it never.
But I mean, as you know, obviously, but like, even with the best of stunt team in the world, things can just go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Or like problems happen. Like, so my first movie was a movie called Romeo and Juliet, and we had a big fight scene between the two families. And in the movie, I wear these ridiculous outfits, like giant spike stilettos and crazy shit. And we practiced for a bunch of weeks with the stunt team. And I'm supposed to kick an actor named Stevie Blackheart in the face. But in it, every time we practiced, I was wearing sneakers.
Yeah.
In the movie, during the actual take, I'm wearing 6-inch spike stilettos. So my distance was off. I kicked him right through the bottom of his lip, went straight through to the other side. We finished the take. He turned white, passed out, and had to go to the hospital. And still has a scar to this day. I mean, it hasn't affected him. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's awesome. And he doesn't hate me. But I was mortified. I'm like, that was my fault. And it very well could have been. I certainly like didn't mean to, but those are the things that
you get,
you know,
in the moment,
you
too,
get in the moment,
in the scene, and that's what happens.
And the distance and not realizing with the wardrobe or whatever.
There could also be the factor that he came in a little closer than he had in the past.
That's true.
So it's not necessarily all you.
I don't know, but it was really like one of those, this is my first film. I lied to get the job. I told him I knew jiu-jitsu. I don't know jiu-jitsu. And now I just fucking wounded the lead actor. Like, shit.
Yeah, that is quite a good start to a career.
Wow.
It's all downhill
so
from
amazing.
There. So what happens for you, like, if something goes wrong on set? Like, if you see, like, if that were on your movie and an actor hit another actor, like, what is the next course of action? Do you then just bring in another stunt person? Do you?
Unfortunately, that's usually the case, unless it's a stunt double, which is a specific size. You know, you can't really stop the whole production because the stunt person gets hurt. You just get them to the help they need and try to continue on because that's part of the job.
I've always wondered this, but are you guys a stunt people? Any of you medically trained? Like if something like that, or is there just always a set?
There's always a medic on set. Yeah. I mean, I know even producing, in fact, I'm on a film right now and we're really strict about having a medic, especially for, you know, horror movies and whatnot.
Sure. Now, I just always wondered that if like any stunt person, always, like I'd be like, maybe I should become a EMT.
Set medic. Yeah.
There's been a couple stunt people that had training that way, but they would never presume to take over from a, you know, a set medic, maybe assist or if anything.
I remember being on the movie, I was talking about Satan's Playground, and the character in the scene with me, I won't mention the actor, he's amazing, but he had to have a machete to my neck. And they were like, it's okay, it's kind of dulled.
Oh my God.
But what happened was the only person who could hear me suffering, because he has me against a wall, and were the sound people. And they called cut. And they were like, she's hurt. And I was like, thank God. It was just more of like being choked than cut. But it was a scary moment, and there was no stunt person. So.
Yeah, but also why are, like, and dull knife to your throat?
Because as the actor, I give approval. I'm like, yeah, we can do it. It's okay. We have friends who've gotten seriously injured.
Friends who've gotten seriously hurt with a machete, and she's talked about it many times. Very awesome, famous scream queen cut her hand straight down the middle with a machete that was supposedly dull. And uncool.
Yeah. And unfortunately, as an actor, and maybe if you're not the lead or whatever, you tend to not say something if you're kind of injured because you don't want to fucking lose your job, first of all.
There's all that.
You don't want to get the reputation, oh God, she's always hurt. He's always getting banged up or whatever. So you tend to sit with it.
Yeah, be cool. Like, be cool on set. Be positive. You know, I'm always wanting to put my best foot forward. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be that annoyance, you know, where it's like, I'm hurt. You know, I was like, no, I'm good. I'm all good. It's okay.
What got me? Funny, though, is that the people generally that do complain, that are pains in the asses, those bitches work all the fucking time. So I'm like, maybe it were just too lax that they're like, well, they clearly aren't that great because they don't give a shit.
That's so funny.
You know, like, the most negative, terrible people always get the gigs. And you're like, but they were the worst.
They complained all the time.
They complained consistently. So now there's so many actors that everybody wants to make a horror film, presumably because it's easy to make them. Like, easy as in.
It's so weird to me.
Easy to get the locations. You can just shoot them like in the woods, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need a giant
haunted house, like one location.
You don't need a lot of lights. fake blood we can make in our kitchen. But the one thing a lot of people want to do is do these own stunts. That is super tough and difficult. Like, would you guys ever give any advice to somebody who was like, I want to make my own movie and I'm going to do all my own stunts? Or would you completely say you should never do it?
It's totally individual. As a stunt coordinator, I will look at each person that has action to do, talk to them about it, and basically suggest how much they should do. If they want to do everything, then I know that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
So I always like the idea of the actors doing some stuff, but at least trust me to know when you probably shouldn't do this. And not because you might get hurt, but because it's not going to look as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying anything about your personal ability, but why don't we have you do this leading up to here? Then we'll have the double do this part, because, and then you'll be happy with the whole sequence. If you do something, it's never going to look the same as a stunt person would do it. So it's kind of a fine line, you know, because egos get bruised and stuff like that. So
better the ego than, you know, the face, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So we've all had our fair share of special effects stuff. what makes me the most angry is when you sit through 6 hours of a special effects application, like, and then they don't use you.
People don't realize, I've never had that happen.
I'm sure you've had stuff like that.
Not much. No.
Really?
No.
Or, okay, but then I guess it's just I'm the lucky one. But, like, we did Sharknado 2, and we had shot very, very quickly at the Statue of Liberty and the ferry over, and there was, like, a very limited amount of time that you get to shoot at these places when you're a low-budget film.
Sure.
So we're waiting for, you know, we're shooting this stuff really, really fast, and then they're like, all right, send Tiffany to makeup because I had gotten my face bitten off by the shark. And it took them a really long time to do this really cool appliance on my face. And then they're like, I don't think we're going to have time to get to it. And I look at Anthony Ferranti, the director. I was like, you are going to shoot my mangled face. Your mother, like, you better find a way to shoot my mangled face. And he's like, oh, yeah, we have to shoot a whole. And then he looks at the other side. He's like, we have to shoot it. And so they ended up shooting that spot where I would have gotten eaten on the ferry, actually on the sidewalk of Manhattan, and just shot it up close, really, really tight. And then made it look like I was on the boat.
There's always a way.
So there's always a way, but it was one of those moments where I was like, you've got to be kidding. Like, this took hours and it looks so good. And the detail they put into the face was like amazing, like way superseded what it probably should have looked like.
And I once had like a mistake happen where they left the mold on my face too long and it fell and weighed on my nose. And my entire nose was like broken and basically all I was bruised for like 2 weeks.
No, but that was from a light cast or from
Oh my God.
It was awful. It was so upsetting. And as I'm sitting there, because the first time they did it, I ripped it off because I hate being under that. We've established this. Then the second time they did it, it just like fell and it just like it was horrible. So
that very upsetting. That martial arts guy that always hurts people. Or always did in the films I did, went to do a life cast for one of his films and freaked out. This fucking tough guy, and he can't even have a life cast done. It is a weird feeling.
Yeah, I was going to say, in fairness, it's not easy to do.
No,
it's not
easy to do.
Some people get zen and like love it, but
or take pills and really love
it. Sometimes they just keep your nose open.
Oh,
like with me,
that's what
the
always
entire thing, just nose open. And I'm sitting there, and you have to breathe through your nose only for an hour and a half.
It's terrible.
It dries. And as they're putting the wet stuff on, I'm sitting there, and it starts going over my nose.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't breathe at all, and I'm...
Yeah, you have to give
you hand signals. Signals.
Oh, shit, sorry. And they open up the nose again.
It's really
terrifying.
But by
then, I have like a panic attack because I'm like, it's like over my nose.
Because what you guys, for those of you out there that don't know what this is, you can't just rip these appliances off. They're hardening with plaster and they need to. And this always gets me too, when they're like, all right, we're going to cut you out of it. And they take literally like a straight edge razor to the back part of the head. A power saw. And cutting it off of your head. And you're supposed to just trust these people.
And listening to it is just terrifying.
Terrifying.
And the whole thing is really, really hard.
It's really hard.
It is a weird thing.
I did a movie in Italy called Nympha, NYMPHA, pervy people. That was actually nunsploitation. Oh. Super weird nun movie.
Ooh.
Where I get sent
a
to this like
nun.
She gets sent to what?
I get sent to a New Order convent I'm like a nun trying to make
Do they spank you?
No, it's super weird. It's super, like, I wish it was that, like, sexy. No, it was, like, weird. And they, in order to become closer to God, they take away all of my senses. So touch, so they burn my hands, so they're mangled.
Nice.
Take away my eyesight so I can then see God. Cut out my tongue so I can speak to God. And put drills through my ears so I can hear God. It's bat shit,
Jesus.
Bonkers, crazy. But that was, like, the worst because by the end... They're doing all the effects at once. So I can't touch, I can't see, I can't hear anything.
Oof.
And the special effects people only spoke Italian. So you're just like, finito? They're talking about, it was terrible. But it ended up looking so cool in the movie. So then you're like, that's why we do it.
Yeah, that is true. Bringing it back to that, then when we're on set and it's all coming together, and you know, everything works out perfectly. You just, you love the movie and the experience.
And being able to have like any type of like what you call like special effects, like fires and explosions, like God, like how much cooler does your movie look when you can have that? Like right. We did like a low budget movie called The Scarecrow, which oddly had a bunch of sequels. But the first one I was in, and I'm the lead lady, and I set the scarecrow on fire. And I was like, wait, we're really setting him on fire? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is a real film. Like, because yeah, you had real, cool. Like,
fire.
A fire effect is like, holy shit.
But it was a person
yeah.
in it?
Yep. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that's cool.
I mean, you know, scary that's a stunt I've always loved. Even though it almost mm-hmm. killed me, I always loved doing fire stunts.
Well, it's so crazy. I mean, I think probably all of our fascination with fire is just, you know, animals that we are, right? Like, we took my son this weekend to Universal Studios and we went to the effects show, which we'd never gone to in like years and years. And they set a guy on fire on the stage. And you should have seen, I mean, all of us were in awe that you guys do that in general, but watching it from a little kid's perspective, and he was like, this is like fake, and yet he's okay. And what's the stuff they put on him? And like, it was entranced, and it was so cool and kind of magical to see.
Yeah.
It was cool. Like pretty wild. And I was like, that's it. That's why they call it movie magic, folks. Yeah. You know? But speaking of magic, we have some magical fans and friends on Twitter and Instagram. Ooh,
unbelievable segue. Ooh,
thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Spell and segue. Felissa, spell segue.
Oh.
Not the vehicle.
Oh my God. Are you serious? Okay.
S-E-X. Move on. Okay. So we have some friend questions.
I like that.
Who part. Wants to go first? Should I?
Yes.
I will go first. We have a question from Dan Gata. Dan says, this is perfectly fitting. In your opinion, which is better in horror movies? Monster practical effects or CGI? So he means like old school, like monster, like, you know, we're on set with the blood and, you know, Victor Crowley kind of stuff, or computer graphics. And me personally, I think both. I think in a perfect world, you have both and you combine both. Like, how great is it that you can do something live on set, and then if something does fuck up, there is a way to fix it. Unlike back in the day where you're like, oh, well, that was film, we're done. Like, you can go back and add blood where that squib didn't work. Or you can go back and add a gunshot if, you know, the explosion didn't go off. In my opinion.
I'm old school, I'm a practical, hardcore, I'm practical effects guy. I can't get into anything else.
Because when I watch
how do you
guy,
watch movies now?
We watch them together and we close our eyes.
It's watching like those old school flip books that like if you move it fast enough,
it
the
just,
motion
it,
picture.
Stunt people these days are spoiled fuckers in general. They have no idea how hard we used to have to work, because they'll do a half-assed little fire stunt, which I could have done with basically almost no protection, and then it's enhanced digitally and it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, you don't even know what it is to do a real fire stunt anymore. Nobody has to do it. Which I guess makes it safer, but I so many times I'll work on films now and I'll talk to stunt people and I say, how long have you been doing stunts? About 12 years, and ask what areas. Do you do fire? No. How about cars? No. Well, you do high falls? No.
I do karate.
What?
That's really? It. I do fights. I said, wait a minute. You do fight scenes and you call yourself a stunt person? That's not what it used to be to me.
No.
You had to do as much in every area of stunts to call yourself a stunt person with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
Now they fucking do fight scenes, and I'm a big stuntman because I fight with, you know, Jackie Chan and, you know.
Your friend.
It's got to be hard to fight with Jackie Chan, though.
Is he dead?
Damn. No, he's fast.
No.
Is he dead?
But, you know
no,
what
but
I mean?
I agree with you. I mean, even in the opening of Sleepaway Camp, like it's silly. It's the boat scene where, you know, but I remember being 13 and watching the stunt team get in the boat, and they put like little dummies in the boat and, you know, shoot it. It looked so cool and it was so fun. And
yeah, but it could still look cool. Like, adding CGI to stuff doesn't make it not cool anymore.
Adding, enhancing.
Yes.
I would think I would be more inclined to do, but still do the stunt. Don't make the stunt look like.
No, of course not. I think you use the people as much as possible. And then for whether it be safety reasons or something got jacked up and they don't have time to go back and shoot it, why wouldn't you utilize like what technology's given us? It's also kind of just like saying,
because it looks cheap and shitty sometimes.
Maybe in cheap and shitty movies, but not like the big movies that the top people work on.
When I was on fire as Victor Crowley, there was an issue because you only do a fire stunt once. You can't do a take two because your protection is now compromised from being on fire already in various ways. So you can't do it again. And it's a very expensive stunt to do in the first place. So I do the stunt as Victor and I go down, I get put out and I look at Adam to make sure everything is cool. And I can tell something's wrong. He's not like, oh my God, that was amazing because I'm fully on fire.
Sure.
And it wasn't till later I found out that, unfortunately, with the version of the makeup I was wearing, there was a flap of latex hanging out. And it made the whole thing look ridiculous. The whole stunt, you could see part of my body sticking out. I don't know how it happened, but it kind of ruined the entire thing. But they had to have that scene, so they had to go in digitally and fix that. So that case, yeah, you got to be able to.
That because, yeah, you know.
But I was so, you know, normally when you do a fire stunt and it's big and you get put out, the fucking place is going shit bonkers because everybody's cheering because you were on fire so much and now everything's cool.
Question.
You don't see that, you're just like deflated. Like,
right.
What?
Yeah,
what
happened? Something happened.
Something bad.
How long can you be on fire before that protective, whatever you guys put on, is not good?
It depends on how you do it. There's different methods of doing it. But in part 7, Friday the 13th, I was on fire for 44 seconds.
What?
Fully engulfed, which is unheard of amount of time. You usually do 15 seconds, maybe 20. Uh-huh. But I have always taken my cue to get put out by the way it feels. And you can tell when the heat starts getting through your layers that when it's time, and your whole signal to get put out is to go face down on the ground. Your team is waiting for you to go face down on the ground. They do not come in until you're face down. Then they put you out immediately.
Jesus.
So as the performer, I always took my own cue. Sometimes I went down a little sooner than I thought because the heat got so intense. You have protection on, but it's fucking hot.
Yeah.
And so in that particular one, the way we did it, I did not feel the heat for the longest time. And I just stayed doing my movements on the set. And by the time I went down, you can see it in the movie if you watch the scene. You know, she's watching me on fire. I'm moving around. I finally go down and you can see that the fire is like half gone because it's burned so long.
So long.
It's burned the fuel off. Sure.
Jesus.
And so, but... You know, typically you just, if you're good enough at fire, you just take your own cue.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell you when to.
How those seem like kind of coveted gigs, like that you have to trust somebody so much to put you out.
Oh, for sure.
Like, is there like a pecking order to that? Or is it just like who you've worked with the longest?
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Every fire stunt I've ever done, I've had Paul Short safety me. Because he's great at doing fire stunts himself, mm-hmm. but he's tremendous on the safety aspect. And will make, you know, I don't have to worry if I'm going to get put out
when
I need to. So you tend to always use the same people. And when you budget for that as a stunt coordinator, you say, this is who I'm going to have here. There's no questions about it. You get him here. However you need to, him and his main assistant. So That's amazing. Then that part of it, peace of mind. Okay, I don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah,
you're protected. Were you just a fucking crazy kid?
At one point, I became
that. I don't mean that in like I mean, like, you must be fearless and wild.
When I was young.
Really?
I was kind of a little bitch.
Wait, you still are.
Until I was like 12 or 13. Then suddenly I started, you know, getting so entertained by doing things that frightened other people for my safety.
You still do all the time, just like a jackass kind of thing.
Like getting hit in the door, in the head with the door.
Yes, he did that to our producer on the way to lunch today. Just pretended and made her cry.
He's a bully.
Kane Hodder's a bully. Felissa, would you do
fire? Absolutely not. Next.
Yeah, that was it. Even if myself and Paul Short were there.
If you and Paul were there.
And you were partially on fire.
And I learned
Sponsored by Fangoria Podcast Network, we are actually going to set you on fire.
Yeah, with no protection.
No protection.
Don't you want to look like this? Wouldn't that be cool?
You know what?
You're cool.
Look hot. Like, in all ways.
With my scars.
Well, I think that wraps
they are
up
sexy.
Another sexy, stunt-filled episode of Casualty Friday.
Guess who dies?
Tiffany Shepis dies.
Shepis is dead.
It makes no sense because clearly
Shepis is dead.
Clearly, I was the biggest contributor.
Casualty Friday is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, hosted by Tiffany Shepis, Felissa Rose, and Kane Hodder. Executive producers, Dallas Sonnier, Phil Nobile Jr., Matt Mangiarides, and Justin Martell. Produced by Natasha Pasetta. Associate producer, Jessica Safavamare. Art and design by Jason Koslerich. Sound recording design and mixing by Natasha Pasetta. Music by John Brennan. For Fangoria, Brandon Wynardi, and Rachel Wilson.